All right, I almost forgot, but it is Mikey Monday. That is, producer Mike joins me to discuss things that are on his mind, cut his teeth on the excitement of actually talking on the radio instead of just working behind the scenes on it. So we welcome Mike to us now once again. And I love this topic. Diversity is on Mike's mind. You ready to go, Mike?
Ready as ever.
Give us a little diversity.
I was just thinking about diversity and what that means. And I saw a YouTube video. It doesn't really matter, but that's what started it. And is it a good thing? You know, I tend to believe it is.
Diversity.
Yeah. You know, well, you know, more different opinions and experiences should, you know, lead to better things for everybody, right?
Well, one of the things you often say, Mike, when we're talking politics, and you often say, well, balance is the key to everything, isn't it?
Yeah.
And maybe that's what the diversity discussion is all about. So the conversation on the YouTube was talking a little bit about a place where things run well. It was suggesting that if you want to have a well-managed society that runs with great efficiency, the best way to do that is to have the opposite of diversity, to have as little of it as possible, that diversity puts a strain on a community and its systems.
But it needs like an underlying focus. You know, all the people should have some sort of unity and like a main mission, right? Does that make sense?
Unit. Yes, there should be a there should be shared values and there should be a fabric. And if you think about the things that sometimes we look at, certain things like celebrating July 4th or the rituals of how to properly deal with a flag or singing the national anthem, doing the Pledge of Allegiance in school, which it used to be normal and now I think is abnormal if that happens. I'm not sure. But those things are all about weaving a shared cultural connection, a sense of values and purpose to our country and what makes us unique. And we now live in a time in which that's looked down upon, and we try to celebrate individuality at the expense of having a shared community.
Sure, yeah. No, I agree with all that.
So how does that work into this idea of diversity? And maybe that's the issue with diversity, that diversity has become a club that is used by the proponents of diversity, the left, to break up the American sense of unity.
Well, what I was thinking was, like, they made this example in the video of like Japan, and if a bunch of people from India moved to Japan and then eventually, you know, everybody in Japan was from India, is it still Japan?
You know, which is a really interesting question.
Yeah, so then it's got me thinking about the United States, because the United States is kind of different, because we have so many, we're the most diverse nation in the world, and, you know, I think that's amazing, but it also is like, well, what makes us American? You know, if our population is constantly changing and our cultures and subcultures are all different, like, there needs to be some sort of underlying connective fabric, like you said, that makes us American. Otherwise, you know, then we're ripe to be manipulated by political parties or whatnot.
If we don't have unity?
Yeah, if we don't have something in common, then what do we draw back on to connect one another to each other in the name of America? Like,
yeah,
what is America?
What is America? What makes us us? And it's back to your original question, what generically makes a country a country? And that is a sense of identity amongst the people who live there, a shared cultural experience. One is not exclusive to the other. You can have people all around the country who have different heritages and different viewpoints on a range of topics, but it seems to me the answer to that question, if you filled Japan up, if you exported all the Japanese out of Japan and packed a bunch of Indians there, it would become India overnight.
Yeah.
And because it's, the culture is what's in our hearts and based on our years of experience. And it seems to me we're giving that away right now. That's what this leads to, doesn't it? That we're there's so much celebration of diversity going on that's occurring at the expense of the celebration of America.
Yeah, that's how it looks.
So what do we do with that? It puts you in the position. I mean, you were saying nice things about diversity as you were setting this up, and I wonder if you're just doing that to be polite so you don't look like you're a bad guy or something.
Well, I mean, I believe in diversity. It's uncomfortable to question it, you know, but maybe that's, you know, part of the problem.
Yeah, so we get intimidated. I personally love diversity. I've said this on the air before. I like going to sections that have different cultures. I love that you can go to an Indian section in a city or a Chinese section.
Just like food alone.
Yeah, but the whole ambiance of the food. Like, you go to Chinatown in New York City. We went a few years ago, took the grandkids. They were just, you know, like, I don't know, like 12 and 10 or something. And they were dying to go to this restaurant they'd seen on the internet where they make their own noodles fresh. And there's two guys standing in the window who are always making noodles. And that kind of experience is wonderful. It's very enriching. But I don't, to me, that's different from the celebration of America, and that both those things have to be going on at the same time. Because, well, everybody always says they think America went better when we had less diversity going on and more celebration of America. That is the immigrants coming in. We had big waves of immigration at many times throughout our history. But it was always rooted in the idea that people coming here were excited to be part of America. They weren't coming here being contemptuous of America. That's a new thing. And I think there's a political party that's encouraging the contempt, and that's really a big thing that divides the country right now.
I don't think people know what America is, though. Like, they don't teach what American values are, right? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, if you come from another country, you have your own culture from that country, and that's fine. You can bring it here and celebrate that. And but then, like, what is our culture other than shopping or, I don't even know, eating a lot?
What do we believe in? You got out of the public schools just 10 years or so ago, 10 or 11 years ago. What's your feeling about what was conveyed to you through your education about what America is? Does anything stand out?
No.
Nothing. Did you study? For me, growing up, I grew up in Lexington, Massachusetts, which is considered by Lexingtonians to be where the Revolutionary War began. And there's a great deal of pride there. And I felt like all we did in social studies and history was study the Revolutionary War. And there was a great feeling of pride and connection to all that. Did you not experience that?
I mean, I'm sure I did to some extent, but I don't know if it was uniform across the whole, my whole class, my whole, you know, the years that I was in school. I don't know if everyone else felt the same, but
it's a very intriguing problem. I feel that the left took over the schools. My assumption is the left took over the schools and pushed the teaching of American history and the teaching of it with pride out. And it's now been replaced by this extreme leftism that says America's bad, America's white supremacist, that they've now normalized this negative attitude towards the country. And I find it scary. Yeah.
I just think that I don't view any of that. I mean, that wasn't my experience, but I mean, I don't know what goes on. There's a million different schools, so I think it just depends on the different teachers. But,
yes. Well, I'm thinking about what we see in this, the AOC and these different new congresswomen, you know, the Fab Four, I forget what they call them. And if you think about what they're disseminating, it sounds like they're working hard to normalize that America is bad and whiteness is bad, all in the name of celebrating diversity. But really, I don't feel like they want to celebrate diversity. I think they want to shove the old guard out and let the new guard take control, which wouldn't be a bad thing if they weren't demonizing in order to accomplish that. And I feel like we're in the age of demonization of what always was, and that doesn't strike me as being a good thing. 860-522-9842. Anybody think that's a good thing, that we've gotten to this point in our history where there's this thread of American politics that says America is bad? Because obviously that's not true. All countries have done bad things. America's done bad things. But the normal way to look at those bad things would be to take them in stride and view them as part of the context, the larger context of America as the most positive force in the world in terms of many different things. That's where I'm at on this. Any thoughts? 860-522-9842. Are you pro-diversity, anti-diversity? Is it possible to be both at the same time? We'll talk more coming up on WTIC.
New podcast alert, What Divides Us with Todd Feinberg. Out every Monday. Subscribe today on radio.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, it's WTIC. Producer Mike, this is his time each week, first hour on Mondays. We'd, bring him in on the conversation so he can learn this side of the business. He's also fun to have on the air and fun to talk with. So,
for who, you?
That's what we're up to. Yeah, I really enjoy talking with you.
All right, I remember what I was going to say.
Okay, go ahead.
About the schools and what they're teaching the children. To me, it just felt a lot like, at least history-wise, and I like history, but it just felt like, oh, well, this happened on this date, and this happened on that date, and it's just kind of memorizing just words, basically. And, like, all this to say, like, I don't feel that there was any overlying narrative of
what... So it wasn't conceptual, it was just factual.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that is kind of a bad thing, at least for American history. Like, there needs to be some sort of narrative behind it, right?
Well, this is the thing about teaching, too. If you want kids to want to learn about history, tell them a story where they can, you know, some of it... Well, it's all the stories in the world is history. You know, those could be the best stories you would ever tell a classroom.
They are the best stories.
But, I mean, you could present them in such a way that kids are just riveted by the conversation. And why would you ever start off with facts and memorizing dates? It's craziness.
Yeah, I don't know. But that's the way it was.
And that's an education discussion, I guess.
Yeah.
Your point is that diversity, you were watching this video where the notion of diversity was being challenged, I think. And that challenge was based in the idea that diversity presents a risk. That if too many people are moving in too quickly who come from other cultures and have no connection to the one they're moving into, that puts the culture at risk, because then you're unseating the narrative by which everybody is living.
Well, it lowers trust, too. I think that was kind of like the main takeaway from this guy's video, is talking about how the whole community kind of suffers a little bit if everyone has all these differences and there's less communication between them, less trust, less charitable giving. And it's just overall a negative for the community, which is kind of, to me, was counterintuitive. I never really thought about it that way, but, I mean, it kind of makes sense. I don't know. Like you said, what I say all the time is probably it's more about balance than anything. And I think, I don't know if you said this on the air, but you did off the air at least, about it being more about the pace of immigration than anything else.
Yeah, that's always my argument. Illegal immigration, of course, should never be something that's permitted or encouraged. And we now live in a country where at least one of our political parties is fully on board with the idea that they don't want to just celebrate diversity. They want to celebrate diversity that broke into the country and should be deported, and call you a racist if you say they should be deported. So that creates a difficult situation.
Sure does.
But that's a different argument.
Yeah.
But it does bring us back to the whole idea of what America is supposed to be. Really, there's so much dissonance going on in the country, and it's tied in great amounts to these phony stories we're being told about things like immigration. Immigration is great. And you can make, you know, politicians can have arguments about how much we need. But nobody needs to be stepping in and fighting to get more immigrants in right now. Because politics is about the process of the people deciding what needs to happen. And eventually, everybody will come to terms with whatever has to happen, don't you think?
I think if a bunch of Canadians were trying to get in, you wouldn't have a problem with it.
I don't know. Canadians aren't necessarily my favorite people.
I'm just kidding.
I know you are. But I think in some way that's true, because I think our immigration should be, in large part, based around the idea of not creating conflict. And not creating expense and not creating hardship. So our cities suffer. Our cities have a harder time educating and keeping the peace if they import more people who haven't lived in a society that in which English is spoken, in which there are functioning government agencies and control. And, you know, if you're living in a place that's a third world country, then you might not be prepared to live in an American area. In an American city, or
but
something.
How do you prepare them? Then they'll never be ready.
Well, but we don't have to let anybody, and we can pick and choose. There's nothing that compels us to say the people coming from the worst countries on the planet have to be let in.
But there's still good people in the worst countries.
Well, I'm not saying they're not good people. I'm saying that they.
Well, I mean, there's qualified people.
Maybe.
They
but
just
in
haven't
general,
had an opportunity yet.
In general, we don't benefit from having people who aren't prepared to contribute because they represent an expense, right? They go into our schools.
It's an investment, though.
All right, if you want to be like that, you want to mock.
I'm not mocking. I'm half serious.
You are? Well, don't you think it makes more sense for us to have the largest number of immigrants becoming fully prepared to hit the ground running?
No, I'm not for open borders. Everything you're saying makes sense, but how do you implement that? You know, like,
well, it's easy.
We'd have to vet every person.
No,
that...
we don't have to do anything.
Okay,
we could just say, you have to pass an English literacy test before we let you in.
Well, there's lots of people that know English that I wouldn't want.
No, but we could have that as a filtering thing.
That's not have people. That's not good enough.
Well, it's one filter we could use. You could have dozens of them if you wanted. I'm just saying, why pack American cities with kids who can't speak the language and then are going to walk into our school looking to be taught how to speak English? We don't have to do that. We don't have to put that burden on our urban schools. That's all I'm saying.
Or we could just all learn Spanish.
We could do that as well. And that, those are decisions about what kind of country we're going to have and what kind of country we're going to be.